Thank you, Craig, for leading us in communion and prayer. That was wonderful. Really ministered to my heart, and I know each one of our hearts this morning. Let me get my place here. Good morning once again. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as we will be looking at verses 17 through 21 for really a short message of encouragement. This is something that the Lord put on my heart as we haven't returned to Romans yet, and so in my time with the Lord, always just seeking Him and what is He putting on my heart and sharing from His Word on each Sunday, ministering to us as we walk with Him through all of this. And so it's just a short message of encouragement. I've entitled it Representatives of a Restored Relationship. Put some notes down. So the title of the message is Representatives of a Restored Relationship with God. Much like last week's message, the church has a meaningful purpose from God while we're here on earth. We know that. This message today carries on from a little bit of last week on how important it is for the church to live for Christ in the midst of everything going on. It's just an important thing that God has called us to and desires us to, and so we're carrying that on. For the church lives really in and amongst a world that is drowning in sin. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Well, where we live and the life that we have in Christ, and we're battling our own sin, but like what was shared today, we're saved from the punishment of it, the penalty of it, from the power of it, one day the presence. But if we look upon the world that we're in, it's really drowning in sin. And us as His church, we represent the only answer to sin's destruction. Isn't that right? We represent the only answer to sin's destruction. Believers, Christians, ones that follow God, you know, through faith in Christ. You guys agree with that? We represent the only answer to the world, and it's drowning in sin. We see the sin, don't we? That the world is in. Do you see it? That it's drowning in? Tempts us to sin, doesn't it? Thank you, Craig, for encouraging us to just deal with our hearts this morning, because it does. We look at things going on, and then we complain, and then we say, wow, it's going to go this, is going to go this way, that way, and all of that kind of stuff. And then we need to remember that we're representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the hate. We see the anger, the corruption, the lies, the slander, the abuse of power, the abuse of people. America seems to be losing its decency for the common man. The world has always been this way. Did you know that? Sometimes a little better and sometimes a little worse. And maybe if we wanted to look back the last 40, 50, 60 years, it's been a little better here. But the world is always drowning in sin. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. It isn't reconciled back to God. The world drowns in sin because it has a broken relationship with the true and living God, in which then enslaves itself to sin. And as the Apostle Paul said in 1 John 3, he said, the lost world doesn't know God. Doesn't know it needs to be reconciled back to God. And as we read in the opening scriptures from Romans 5, all people except those saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are ungodly sinners, enemies of God, in such a way that there is enmity between them and God, a broken relationship that on their own they cannot fix. That's what we read in Romans today. Now, ours has been restored. We've been reconciled. Our relationship with God is at peace, but the world isn't at peace. The lost people aren't at peace with God. There's enmity between them and God. But like what we read in verses 8 through 11, let me read those again from Romans. Keep your Bibles there in 2 Corinthians 5. But God demonstrated His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Jesus came to fix that broken relationship that humanity has with God. Through faith in Him, through His sacrifice, through what He did, to reconcile sinners back to God, to be at peace with God for all eternity. Now, what we see from what the Apostle Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, is that all believers, God's church, us, are representatives of that reconciliation, that restored relationship. That's what we're going to look at today, just a simple message in that. But what brought this to my mind was a letter that I received from someone in my neighborhood. And I received it last week, and I looked at it, and I read it. And as I was praying, the Lord brought it to my mind. But this is really what led me to preach out of 2 Corinthians 5. Let me read that letter to you that I received. Hi there. My daughter and I live in your neighborhood. Just wanted to check in with the other families to see how they are doing with the COVID-19 outbreak. Even though I cannot come visit you in person, I'd love to share some encouragement from the Bible with you. I want to share Romans 15:13 that says, "May the God who gives hope fill you with all joy and peace by trusting in him so that you may abound in hope with power of the Holy Spirit." Great, great verse, right? So please don't be disheartened by the current events. And know that you can always turn to God for support. I'm a volunteering in a global campaign helping others find answers to their spiritual questions using the Bible. If you're interested, please don't hesitate to visit a website of a false religion that doesn't believe Jesus Christ is deity, that doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that doesn't believe that Jesus is God himself, and that they believe that God created Jesus and he's human, but he's godlike, and then he came. What help is that letter to a world drowning in sin? Zero. Because it doesn't lead them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It all sounds good. It is all encouraging. And I was convicted because she ended the letter like this: "Remember to stay healthy and safe, and I hope to hear back from you soon. Warm regards." I don't know why she didn't already hear from me. I don't know why the people in our life haven't already heard from us. There's no other answer out there than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're representatives of that. Everybody's in a broken relationship with God that doesn't have the Lord Jesus Christ. Even this nice person that wrote this nice letter that pointed out to some of God's word, when you go to their website, it's a works relationship with God, not a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't help at all. So I wanted to encourage us all on what God calls us to represent in this world in need of what we have. So let's begin by reading our text this morning. Are you there with me and have your outline out? And we'll focus in on one main point in the text. I won't teach everything that's here. There's a lot here, but I won't teach everything here. But I'll focus in on the Apostle Paul's, maybe his main thrust of the text, but if not the main, at least the second thrust of the text. Look at it with me, 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. The word of the Lord says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." What Paul has already taught in chapter 5, and let me just review it to you, is that we have heaven's promise. We have heaven's joy. We are to live confident of the eternal life that God has planned and purposed for us, and it's heaven's promise. And we're always to be of good courage, he said, and he taught earlier on wherever you exist, wherever we exist, on earth or in heaven, our main ambition is always to be pleasing to God. In verse 14, he says, "For the love of Christ controls us, it compels us, it constrains us to live for the Lord and not for ourselves." Therefore, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come." Paul is saying here, you are to acknowledge that in Christ you have been given a new life. That's what he's saying. That's when you're given your new life. You have heaven's hope. You have all courage. You're the one that walks by faith, what he taught earlier, and that you make it your ambition to be pleasing to the Lord, and that the love of Christ controls us and compels us not to live for ourselves any longer, but to live to the Lord. It's because that in Christ you have been given new life. The old is gone, the new has come, and it's by the creative power of God what he's talking about. Scripture says that you have been born again, you have a new heart, a new spirit within you. A Holy Spirit took up residence in your life. You are no longer a slave to sin. You have a new nature with a new desire to honor God, to honor God's word, to honor his way, to love God, to love others. You're redeemed. You have been reconciled back to God, and sin is no longer in the way, as we saw in Romans 5, and you stand in grace at peace with God. The old is gone, the new has come. And that's what he's meaning to, for us to recognize, to give recognition. Like, was today. I didn't talk to anybody about today with the song selections and the communion thoughts and all of that. That was the Lord really working in our lives for us to really hear that because of the new life that we have in Christ, we represent something more to this world than just good people or just good words, or we represent what it looks like to have a restored relationship with God in a world that needs its relationship restored. And it's God that gave you this new life by grace and by his doing. Now look at verse 18 with me. So you've been given a new life. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Look what he says, namely, or verse 18. Now all things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Ministry, what's that mean? A thing to do in service of God. That's what that means. Like last week, we were given the ministry of making disciples, Matthew 28. Here, the ministry of reconciliation, same kind of deal. 1 Timothy 1:12, the Apostle Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. I want you to think about that. God says the same thing to you in your salvation, and he puts you into service. That's what it means to be reconciled back to God. That's what it is about being a Christian, not what it is to be about a believer. It was the Lord strengthened you and considered you faithful and in your salvation put you into service. The service we have, the ministry that we have is reconciliation, a restored relationship with God. That's what the Apostle Paul is focusing on here. Just as you would want to reconcile any relationship. Charlie, what an encouragement today to say, just recognize how important our family relationships are. You know, in the midst of everything going on, because sometimes we won't, they'll all change and all that kind of stuff. But you have to reconcile some of yours, don't you, at times? Because sometimes you're not the sweetest brother in the world, are you? But sometimes sisters aren't the sweetest sisters in the world, are they, right? But see, that's the relationship that you're working on. And as we would want to restore those, right? And sometimes we have those in our life. What God did through Jesus Christ is restore it forever. Regardless if, you know, he doesn't want you to walk in sin, and we need to confess our sin, for he's faithful and righteous, 1 John 1:9, to forgive us all sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because in our relationship with God, God is going, okay, I don't want that in your life. I want you to go this way. If you'll own up to me what's in your life, and then I'll work in your life, and I'll help you walk in the path of sanctification. But our relationship has been restored with God, and that's what we would want anybody to have. It transformed me, it transformed you, it transforms the body of Christ, it transforms your community, your church, your state, your world, your country. Does God want to do that? Who's he going to use? Pastor Ken? He's going to use us, guys. Well, they use me a little bit, too. But he don't just say, well, you know, Pastor Ken, you got to go save the world or whatever. They think about that. We're to live Christianity, the reconciled relationship that we have with God before a world drowning in sin. And so we need the God to guide and lead us so we don't drown in sin. With the wrong focus, we need to renew our minds. Like it says in Acts 10:36, we are to be preaching, which that word means sharing, proclaiming, teaching, and living. Peace with God is found through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I represent that. You represent that. The Apostle Paul said in verse 19, you have been given the word of reconciliation. Look at it with me. Now that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So he has given us new life, right? He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given us, the God, the creator of all, has given us the word of reconciliation. Now that we're in the text there, that the word is not one word. It's not a word. It's not like we have a word, but it's a logos in the Greek. And what he's talking about is kind of the truth of the words of God about it, the message of the word of God about it. That's what that's meaning. The true words of reconciliation, the true message of reconciliation, the word or message of the kingdom of God, Matthew 13:19 says, or the word of the gospel, Acts 15:7 says, or the word of salvation, Acts 13:26 says, or the word or message of forgiveness, Acts 13:38-39 says, or the good news of the gospel, Isaiah 52:7 says. And I want you to listen to the message of a restored relationship in John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. That's the message. That's the word. That's the words. That's what we have, the of reconciliation, that it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about becoming good or better. It's that he's the way, the truth, and the life. Or the word or the message of Jesus Christ in Mark 1:15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That is true every single day. Right, Tony? Because Jesus was the same yesterday and today and forever, right? So the same message that God wants us to have is what he gave in Mark 1:15. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we represent. That's the word of reconciliation that he's given us. Then in verse 21, look at it with me, the Apostle Paul says, you have been given Christ's righteousness, or the righteousness of Christ. Look at it with me. He says, he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What God did through Christ's sacrifice as the one who never sinned, who lived a complete righteous life in your salvation, God credited you, imputed to you Christ's righteousness. Philippians 3:9 says, the righteousness you have is by faith in Christ, and it comes from God. You have no righteousness of your own. This is how you become righteous, or the righteousness of God is found through faith in Christ, where God imputes or credits to you on your behalf Christ's righteousness to you. You are right before God in a restored relationship as living examples of God's righteousness. Justification has been declared. You are now stand justified in the righteousness of Christ before God. You can't lose that. It can't go away. It's what God did in reconciling us back to himself. It's a restored relationship. So let me just review for you. So you have been given new life, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, able to seek to live righteously before God in a restored relationship with God, and given the ministry, the service, the word, the message of reconciliation the world so desperately needs. Begs the question, what are we doing with it? Doesn't it beg the question? I mean, this isn't a small thing, is it? This isn't like, you know, this is a big thing. How are we representing what we've been given? Look at verse 20 with me. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though we're God, we're making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. That's the concluding thought, isn't it? We are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of the restored relationship with God. That's who we are in Christ, and God gave it to you. You have it now. You carry it every day. That's who we are. He's called us to make disciples, right? We looked at that last week. And he's given us this ministry, this service, in and amongst everything that we have and do and are and all of that. I think if you weighed him, what God has given us to do and what we see in the world that we're to do, I think this side being God's would kind of go like that, wouldn't it? But on my heart, and to encourage us, because what's going on in our world, how it's affecting our lives, our eyes are getting upon things not above, things not of Christ, seated at the right hand of God, seeing the way our world is changing and what may be coming our way and what we may be losing and what may not be our opportunities and what may, and we can get that focus and we can forget. God says, yeah, but I have you here with the word and the ministry of what it looks like to restore a broken relationship with God. Look at the world, it needs it. We need help. We need to be encouraged. We need to be in the body of Christ, in his word. We need to be hearing the word of God ministering to us, saying, yeah, am I not only working in this world and what's going on and working into things? But I'm reconciling people back to myself, which is what you have, because of what's going on. Using it for the glory of God. Opening people's hearts, making them ready to hear the true hope that we have, that the world is losing, and offering what hope it can give. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. The one here we live and serve and proclaim the only truth that will reconcile anyone back to God. And God prepared it beforehand for you to live that good work in the midst of a coronavirus, in the midst of the hostility and anger going on. He knew how to prepare you for when that was going to come for you to live, what he asked you to live. What a great focus in all of this, isn't it? A great focus in all this tribulation and turmoil in our land. We have a ministry and a message to live and proclaim. We have something to represent in all circumstances. Yes, does the Father forgive us? Does the Lord forgive us for when we fail in that? Let no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. This message, this is to encourage us and for us to listen to and ask the Lord. Lord, so that is absolutely true. So help me see what that is, that kind of thing. Nobody should be condemned here. Nobody should be in condemnation. The Lord isn't saying, yeah, you Living Word Fellowship, bad Christians, and you guys haven't been doing what. That's not how the Lord approaches this. He always ministers to our heart. Yes, if he shows you where this hasn't been part of your life, God never puts that down. He just says, this way, Ken. This way, Ken. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up as we're going to close. I told you it was a short message today. But it's the Word of God, and it really impacts our lives when we just leave it simple. Sometimes we dig into all of that's in these verses and how all these things are from God and how God was in the world, all of that kind of stuff. The simple message is that me and you are representatives of a restored relationship with God. Who wouldn't give their right arm for a family member to have a restored relationship with God that doesn't now? God just says, give your heart and mind to it. Let me work. Let me use you. And then trust me in the midst of all of that on what I'm doing. I want to read you a story as we close. I want you to listen to the story well. I want you to just listen. You might write some things down, but just put them in your mind here. But I want you to listen for those who were representatives of a restored relationship with God in the story, okay? Let me read that once again. I want you to just listen. I want you to hear. I want you to just acknowledge in your own mind that was what a representative of a restored relationship with God is in this story. A man from Norfolk, Virginia, he called a local radio station to share this on September 11, 2003, 2 years after the tragedy of 9/11. His name was Robert Matthews. These are his words. A few weeks before September 11th, my wife and I found out that we're going to have our first child. I know what that's like. My kids are going through that now. It's incredible, right? She planned a trip out to California to visit her sister. And on our way to the airport, we prayed that God would grant my wife a safe trip and be with her. Shortly after I said amen, we heard a loud pop and the car shook violently. We had a blown out tire. I replaced the tire as quickly as I could, but we still missed her flight. Both of us very upset as we drove home. I received a call from my father, who is a retired New York fire department. And he asked my wife's flight number was, but I explained that we missed a flight, and my father informed me that her flight was the one that crashed into the South Tower. I was too shocked to speak. My father also had more news for me. He was going to help. He lived in New York, and there's something I can't just sit by for. I have to do something. The son said I was concerned for my dad's safety, of course, but more because he had never given his life to Christ. After a brief debate, I knew his mind was made up. We all have one of those grandpas in our life, right? He's going to do it. Before he got off the phone, he said, take good care of my grandchildren. Those were the last words I ever heard my father say. He died while helping in the rescue effort. My joy that my prayer for safety for my wife had been quickly became anger. We understand this. I was angry at God. I was angry at my father, at myself. I've gone for nearly 2 years blaming God for taking my father away. My son would never know his grandfather, my father, had never accepted Christ, and I was never going to see him again, and I never got to say goodbye. Then something happened. About 2 months ago, I was sitting in home with my wife and my son, and there was a knock on the door. I looked at my wife, but I could tell she wasn't expecting anyone. I opened the door to a couple with a small child. The man looked at me and asked if my father's name was Jake Matthews. I told him it was. He quickly grabbed my hand and said, I never got a chance to meet your father, but it's an honor to meet his son. He explained to me that his wife had worked in the World Trade Center and had been caught inside after the attack. She was pregnant and had been caught under the debris. And then he explained to me that my father had been the one to find his wife and free her. My eyes welled up with tears as I thought my father giving his life for people like this. And then he said, there's something else you need to know. Then his wife is withholding the baby. Then told me that as my father worked to free her, she talked to him and led him to Christ. I began sobbing at the news. Now I know when I get to heaven, my father will be standing beside Jesus to welcome me, and that this family would be able to thank him themselves. When their baby was born, they named him Jacob Matthew in honor of the man who gave his life so that a mother and baby could live. You never know the impact you may have on someone. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the call. Did you hear the story, those that represent the Lord? Certainly the husband and wife who prayed to God to grant them safety in their trip represents a relationship with God to talk to the Lord. Also the son concerning his dad's safety, because he knew his dad had never given his life to Christ. He wanted to share Christ with him and others, and we mourn over those in their unrepentant heart that come to faith in Christ. That's what it looks like to have a restored relationship. Then a man who could come to thank his son who rescued his wife, he represents a restored relationship, right? Then the woman who was caught under the debris, and this just really gets me, who's pregnant, but in the midst of that, has the mind to lead someone to Christ. How much of this world and the negativity going on has drawn you away from you being able to tell somebody about the hope that you have in Christ? Here's a pregnant woman in debris, fighting for her life, and ask a fireman, does he know the Lord Jesus Christ? Church, we don't know what we're going to go through, but we're here for a reason, a very important reason, with a calling to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who reconciles relationships to God, no matter the circumstances. And God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. We are ambassadors for Christ because we are qualified to represent him. Let's stand and sing to the Lord, and then we'll close in prayer. Be thou my
riches I heed not, nor man empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only be first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, when victory is won, may I reach heaven's joys, O my heaven's Son. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thinking about the scripture today in Romans 5:1, we stand, we're standing now in the grace of God. Each one of us that have faith through Christ, that's our life, that's where we're standing, is in your unmerited favor, your goodness toward us that we didn't deserve, that we couldn't earn. And like the song says, Lord, we desire that you, your word, your truth, be the vision on how we go forward, on how we live our life. Trusting in you, representing the relationship that we have with you for your glory, not ours, but for the salvation of those around us. Thank you for the encouragement as a church family today of coming together in the Lord's Day and lifting up our voice and taking communion and prayer and hearing your word. We thank you in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're dismissed for today.